12 years after the oil-rich Gulf state of Qatar was controversially awarded the FIFA Men's World Cup finals, the tournament will finally begin on Sunday when the host nation plays Ecuador. Over the past decade, the build-up has been characterised by, on the one hand, die-hard fans looking forward to the event and growing criticism over claims of corruption, sports washing and the treatment of migrant workers, women and the LGBTQ plus communities in Qatar. Earlier today, in a further twist, Qatar said it would block the sale of alcohol in or around World Cup stadiums, despite a previous deal with FIFA and one of its main sponsors, Budweiser. So what do fans make of the tournament controversies, and will they still watch the World Cup? Our reporter Fiacre O'Kiani has been gauging the views of people in Dublin city centre.
I think I'll see how the tournament unfolds with everything going on. But yeah, I'll probably still watch the tournament to a certain stage, unless other type of, I suppose, events intervene and making it a bad event. I think you get a bit anxious that even if you are watching it, that other people may see it as a bad thing just because of all the controversy around the actual event itself.
The World Cup is going to kick off in a couple of days' time. There's obviously some controversies around this year's World Cup. Will those controversies put you off, or are you still going to watch it?
I will watch it, but it is kind of in the back of my mind, and especially I'd like to see if anybody or any of the teams are going to kind of highlight any of these issues. I know the Danish team had put forward a design for the jerseys highlighting those problems. It'd be interesting to see if any of the players kind of have some kind of symbols to highlight these issues.
No, I'm still going to watch it. The controversies would more than likely are bad over there, especially for LGBT and human rights and people dying. But I think it's been put on normal people. Javis Joe Soap is getting asked about it, and footballers being asked about it, when I think government should pay more attention to this at the start before the thing is organised, and we wouldn't have the problem because it wouldn't be there.
So the World Cup is going to start in 2 days' time. There are some controversies around this year's World Cup and the host nation. Are you still going to watch the tournament, or will some of those issues put you off?
To be honest, like, the stuff that I'm reading about Qatar in general, I'm genuinely uncomfortable. I think racism is kind of like this undercurrent that nobody is addressing, and I guess I find it a bit gross that people are still like, get your brand deals, Coca-Cola is proud to sponsor the World Cup, when like we know what's going on in Qatar, we know like what's happened, and people are just kind of acting like, sure, what can be done, you know?
Well, fans in Qatar are more positive, and have been speaking in Doha to our soccer correspondent Tony O'Donoghue.
So you're here in Doha for the World Cup. What country are you supporting?
Yes, we are supporting here to Mexico, to our country, and some of the Argentina, Brazil and France also.
Can I ask you, had you any concerns before coming here?
Well, about the rules, we have some concerns, but everything is right. So.
What rules are you talking about? I mean, you know, this is a society that, you know, doesn't always treat women as fairly as men.
Well, I don't have any issue right now. I don't know if later, but right now everything is okay.
So you're a resident here. How long have you been in Qatar?
This is my 10 year running. Yeah, I came here in 2013. And just before when the World Cup was announced. I'm basically from India. And
do you think this is going to change the image of Qatar to the world?
Sure, 100%. That's what everybody is seeing here, everybody feel and, aspiring to be like, yes.
Soccer fans in Qatar. Well, Sean O'Connell is Vice Dean at the School of Law at University College Cork and an expert on sports economics. I spoke to him a short time ago and asked him first, what do you make of that decision to ban alcohol sales at the stadiums?
Well, it's a very interesting example of how the Qataris are using their power and their position to force their own will on FIFA. Normally, when you're awarded a World Cup, FIFA come in with a list of demands. And one of those demands is you have to change all your laws to accept FIFA's norms, because FIFA would have invested a lot of money in the infrastructure around selling beer. And of course, they would have signed a very extensive multi-million euro contract with Budweiser in terms of providing the beer and having their marketing everywhere. The typical thing in a World Cup up is you just have to shut up and put up. And FIFA will tell you these are demands and you have to go along with them, including that FIFA don't pay tax, for example, in your jurisdiction. So every country that's hosted the World Cup has gone along with that. But Qatar, knowing the kind of unique position that they're in and the lateness of it, have kind of said, actually, no, we're not going to allow alcohol sales. And what are you going to do about it, FIFA? You can't go anywhere else. It's too late. So you're just going to have to put up and shut up. It's a very bad start to the World Cup in terms of the image that's being projected out there. But perhaps it's Qatar flexing their muscles, and that's really what they're about in this World Cup.
The Qataris, it's reported, have invested something of the order of $300 billion over the last several years in preparing for and delivering this World Cup. What's in it? Why the scale of that investment? What return are they hoping for?
I suppose the first thing is the amount itself. Sometimes it's hard to pin these figures down, and $300 billion would involve infrastructure around the World Cup as well. But what's not in doubt is that Qatar have spent more in this World Cup than all previous World Cups added together and multiplied by a factor. It's an astronomical spend. What they're hoping to achieve is to show the world that Qatar is a world player, to put the emphasis on Qatar as a sporting destination and put the emphasis on what Qatar can do as a nation and its importance in the region and globally. What it won't do is there's no way they'll ever recoup this kind of money on tourism or on the, you know, the image of Qatar abroad. That's not what it's about. It's showing their soft power and indeed that they have the ability to align themselves with these global brands like Budweiser, which unfortunately they've already fallen foul of, but the likes of the big sponsors that FIFA have, like Coca-Cola, Samsung and all of these. The other thing Qatar are hoping to do is to show the world that they can stand up and be an established nation like the other countries who've hosted World Cups in the past. And if you go through the list, it's your major players on the global scene who've hosted World Cups traditionally, and Qatar are trying to say, well, we're in that club now, think of us like that, don't think of us for the various human rights issues we've encountered in the past.
But it's also put a focus on a lot of these issues, hasn't it, as well, Sean, how they treat LGBT people, their treatment of migrant workers. So is it rebounding on them to some extent?
I think it definitely is. There's a very strong sense of that. And the Qataris themselves, by the messaging they're putting out, are almost saying, well, look, this is what we are. You have to deal with it. And their gamble is that once the football starts, people will stop speaking about that. But there's certainly a feeling that maybe that's not working for them. We do know, though, in the past that this does work. We only need to think back to the last World Cup in Russia, which, you know, from an organisational and a sporting point of view, was deemed a very successful World Cup. But this was on the back of Russia having annexed Crimea, is on the back of the Malaysian's airline flight being downed. And Russia, you know, was allowed to continue with the World Cup and seen as almost getting away with that because they hosted a good tournament. And that's the gamble the Qataris are hoping will pay off for them.
At this stage, though, are there any signs, for example, that some of those big brands that, you know, like to be associated with an event like this maybe are standing back a bit?
As of yet, not quite, because they've obviously invested a lot of money in it too, so they've a vested interest in it going ahead and that everyone will quietly get on with their business. But an incident like this with Budweiser will really focus the minds of brands in future, and they're already telling FIFA they don't want to end up in a situation like this again. So there could be real knock-on consequences for FIFA going forward, and I think it's well documented the corruption that led to Qatar getting the World Cup, and FIFA will try to make reforms to stop that happening.
Mm. Are fewer people travelling to this tournament than in previous years?
A hugely significantly drop in numbers of people travelling. So, for example, it's projected only 3,000 English fans will travel, and England is a country that traditionally has a very strong following, similar with the Netherlands and Denmark. People are voting with their feet. That they're not happy with the prices, they're not happy with the regime, and they're not happy with the general atmosphere. And as we're seeing the situation develop, it's kind of understandable why people are choosing those choices.
You mentioned Russia. You've talked about the motivation of the Qataris for this. Is this a big test, Sean, for sport? Washing, as it's called.
It is indeed. It's, can you get the payoff by hosting a big event? You know, sports washing was a term that Padraig Reedy, a journalist from Cork, came up with originally. And it's similar to the idea of greenwashing, that you invest enough that people forget about the bad news stories because they see this very exciting event that's happening. But I think there is a certain level of fatigue around the world with that. We've seen this with the Saudi-backed LIV golf tournament, for example. There is a risk from the Qataris that this could be a spectacular own goal because people are so focused on everything that's happening. And instead of cleansing their reputation, they're possibly making it worse.
And that was Sean O'Connell from the School of Law at University College Cork. After the break, what is going on at Twitter?